Night
in the house of the Lord. I want to share with you something out of this psalm. This is one of my favorite of the psalms, and I don't know about you, but when I look into this psalm, I can really relate to where Asaph is. And I don't say that to my credit, because Asaph doesn't have a whole lot to be proud of in this chapter, especially in the first half of the chapter. And whenever I read that first half of the chapter, I can see where I've been in the same place where he is time and again. And it's not to my credit either. And it's certainly not to Asaph's credit. But I'm thankful that there's a transformation takes place in him in verse 17 and moves forward to the end of the chapter. I want to show you some things that I hope will help you from this psalm. If you found your place and are ready and able, stand with us and we'll read the word of the Lord together. Psalm 73, and Brother John, while you're back there, flip that switch right there and turn us on those ceiling fans, and let's stir this air in here a little bit. That'd be a blessing to me. I don't know if it would be to y'all or not, but it'd be a blessing to me. How about that? And praise God, if the preacher gonna be the leader, I'm gonna lead in the air conditioning effort. Psalm 73, verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, truly God is good to Israel. Well, we can stop right there and preach. There's a sermon to be preached. But Asaph goes on and says, even as such as are of a clean heart. But, now most of the time that word but is a divine conjunction that turns around the flesh and the world and our past sin and points us back to God. In this case, Asaph starts off already pointed towards God. And that word but's turned everything back around the other direction. And all of what he just got through saying, now he's beginning to discount. And he said, but as for me. Now, the principle is, in general, God's a good God and he's good to other folks. But it didn't work out for me. He hadn't treated me right. He hadn't been good to me. He hadn't been good like he's good to the rest of Israel. He hadn't been good for me now. As for me now, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. They ain't got problems like all the rest of us has got. Asaph's bad wrong, but he can't see it. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. Listen to that jealousy. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people turn hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Let's that prideful attitude these men have that he has watched and envied them. And they're talking like this. And Asaph, who's a choir director down there at the church house, has listened to this crowd. And he said, I envied that bunch that's mocking God. What a sad shape to come to. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. And they increase in riches. I'm going to come back maybe some to this, but lest I forget it, let me say it the way Jesus did about the Pharisees. He said, they have their reward. They prosper in this world. They've already got their reward. All the reward they're ever going to have is right here and now, because when they leave out of this world, there's nothing waiting for them on the other side. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves cannot break through and steal. Amen. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. Verse number 13, Asaph looks at
for thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. Well, that's a big change from a few verses ago when he said all the rest of that crowd have got it better than me. That bunch of don't know God got it better than me. Now he said, who do I have on earth besides thee? Amen. Change his focus. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou, God, that thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me. Oh, earlier in verse 2, he said, but as for me, my feet were gone. But in verse 28, he said, it's good for me. Not only is it good for Israel in verse 1, but it's good for me as well in verse 28. It's done become personal by this point. But it is good for me to trust and draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us more than anything else. He was saying in verse 28, it pays to serve the Lord. And it does. It always pays to serve God. I want to preach for a little while tonight. I'm not going to be long at all. I've preached all over this chapter in time past. But I want to share a few simple thoughts from you, or from this passage of Scripture with you that's a little different than some of the things that I preached on in this chapter in the past. I want to preach if the Lord will help me tonight. Oh, and I've fallen and I can't get up. Amen. Some of you youngest folks don't know why the fact is particularly interesting, but those of us that have my friend are not near as young as what you look like you are, and know exactly what I'm talking about. I've fallen and I can't get up. I tell you, that's where the psalmist found himself. Asaph tells us about his fall, and my friend, it seemed like the more that he looked, the more that he examined his situation, the deeper that he got in his despair. He could not seem to rise from the ashes of his fall. He couldn't seem to rise from the ground and walk again. He's trying to stand up, but his feet are slipping. Oh, he doesn't have firm ground to stand on. In verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was trying to stand, but I'd fallen. And I could not get up. Chapter 17, when he asked, is there not a cause? greater than Elijah was. And when he had brought fire down from heaven and prayed, my friend, he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed and fire fell from heaven. He prayed and it rained again. Amen. 3.5. Elijah was a man of prayer. I don't think any of us any greater than Elijah. Elijah did all of those things and then my friend Jezebel threatened his life and he ran out into the wilderness, set up under a juniper tree and said, it's better for me to die than what it is for me to live. I'm just worn out. I can't serve God anymore. He got so discouraged that he quit on God.
And the Lord sent an angel by to him. And you know what we would have done, Brother John? If we'd have found the preacher sitting up front of the juniper tree complaining and saying, I ain't never preaching again, and I'd be better off dead than alive, and I'm not going back to church and not going back to town, we'd have went down there and chewed him out and said, you sorry thing, you might as well go ahead and quit. You ain't no good for nothing now anyway. I mean, look how you done showed yourself. After God done all what he's done for you, after the Lord sent fire and rain and water and fed you by the brook and with a barrel of meal it wouldn't run out. And here you are sitting up under a tree and crying, quit being a big baby. Get up from there and serve God. Don't you know better than this? But you know what the Lord did? He sent an angel by with a cake in his hand. And he said, rise and eat. For the journey of that town has taken too great for you. Oh, yes. By the way, when he rose to 80, he went back to sleep. If we'd have had to rebuke him twice, we'd have really got his go. We'd have said one thing about it. He gets out from under this tree and starts preaching. He ain't never preaching nowhere where I am. I won't listen to him anymore. I know that. You know what the Lord told him? He said, rise and eat. And then he asked him, said, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you here for anyway? Elijah said, I'm only one you got serving you. What are you asking me that for? Why, I've served God. Everybody else has built idols and they've built high places and they've built groves and they've worshipped Baal. And I'm the only one left besides that. In other words, if I'm still serving you and they're not, what do you want my case for? See? Why don't you go bother all them who won't serve you? Instead of getting on my case, I tried to serve you. I'm the best one you've got. And besides that, everybody's hurt my feelings. People have threatened me. How folks didn't say amen when I preached. I've just had all I said, and I'm better than my fathers. They couldn't take it, and neither can I. The Lord said, but I've got 7,000 more that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. They hadn't offered up idols and incense. Why don't you just rise and go down there in that valley? There's a fellow down there that I want you to meet. He's Elisha. When he gets down in the valley, Elisha strengthens Elijah. And then Elijah tutors Elisha. Amen. We need one another, friend. Oh, what I'm saying is, if Elisha could get there, if Asaph could get there, if Peter can get there, if David can get there, if Moses can get there, then we can get there. Amen. That's exactly right. I've fallen in discouragement and I cannot get up. Oh my, notice three things from this psalm here tonight. And there's a 300 probably that I could preach about and maybe have over the years, but I want to point out three to you tonight. First of all, notice he forgot God in verses 1 through 3. He forgot God. Truly God is good to Israel. He knows this. Even as such as are of a pure heart or clean heart. But as for me, in other words, took his eyes off God and put them on me, on self. As for me, my feet were almost caught. My steps had well nigh slid. For I was envious at the foolish. And so the prosperity of the wicked. Notice verse 1 is all about God. Verse 2 is all about self. Verse 3 is all about self and the world, but God ain't nowhere in it. When you get your eyes off of God and start looking at self and looking at the world, you'll lose sight of Jesus. You'll get discouraged in Christ. Oh, friend, you'll get in trouble. You'll fall and won't be able to get up by yourself. Amen. He had focused on the goodness of God, but his feet were
deeper slips. He took his eyes off that and looked to the world and looked to the wicked. He's like Peter who walked on the water. That's so long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But then when he saw the wind and the waves, he fell through. But thank God, like Peter, he looked back unto God. Amen. Hell, Proverbs said, a just man falleth seven times. How you wonder how in the world can he be just if he keeps falling? Because he keeps getting back up. Amen. Oh, that's right. A just man's not a man who's never fallen. A just man is a man, and when he falls, calls on God. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, and makes me whole again, and loves me as small as I am. Woo! Oh, yes, friend. Here he was. He forgot God. And we will too. We'll fall in discouragement if we don't remember God.
If you don't remember God, he forgot God. Secondly, notice this evening, he was foolish. He was foolish. Now I want you to pay attention to this tonight. He was foolish. Watch this closely in verse 3. He said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He was envious of the foolish in verse 3. Who was he talking about here? This word foolish in this text, the underlying word translated foolish, means to boast in oneself, to revel, to brag, to be overly confident, to live lavishly. He self was envious at the ones who could live lavishly, extravagantly. And we see later in the chapter, it was primarily those who lived this way, flaunting their wealth. They didn't know God. They knew money, but they didn't know the Lord. They had finances, but they didn't have a Savior. And my friend, he thought, obviously, since somebody's doing better than me financially, that they've got it and I hadn't, that they're living in something that I can't enjoy, I must be missing out on something they've got that I don't have. If you're not careful, you'll watch other people, and you'll watch other stuff, and you'll watch what folks are doing, and you'll see folks, and my friend, in the media, and on the billboards, in the newspapers, in the magazines. You'll watch Hollywood and the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and you'll think God's shortchanging you somewhere, and you've forgotten that they have their reward. Oh, my friend, and our treasures are somewhere else. Oh, yes, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, no, it's not what you see. It makes me a king. It's treasures unseen. Amen. That's right. I don't want the devil in the world to be on notice tonight that there's more to being a rich man than having money to pay. And my friend, there's more to being wealthy than driving a nice automobile or living lavishly. I'm glad for treasures that'll fade not away.
Oh, he was jealous of their natural wealth. They lived extravagantly in their wealth and their lifestyles, but they seemed not to be concerned with spiritual matters. Oh, Asaph forgot that he was the rich man and they were the poor folks. Asaph forgot that he was wealthier than all of them. Asaph forgot that he was the richest man around. Amen. Woo! He went to count pennies instead of counting riches in heaven, friend. Oh, but God's not meeting our need according to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Amen. He's meeting our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I bless his name for that.
Wonderful, wonderful. He was jealous of their natural wealth. Look at verse number 22. He said,
in verse 22, so foolish was I. Now in verse 3, he said, I was envious of the foolish. Verse 22, he said, so foolish was I. Did you know that I watched them long enough that I got foolish just like them? How about that? I got my eyes off of Jesus just like them. I began to look at what didn't matter in life just like them. I began to put my priorities on the same things that they did. What about that? Has anybody in here ever done what I'm preaching on here this evening? I mean, I thought about, well, you know, I fell across the street. He drinks liquor on Friday night. I leave out of church, out for church on Sunday morning, and he's asleep at the end. And yet they're driving big, nice cars. And my tires has got bald. And my automobile's wore out, and the brakes have fallen off. I mean, it looks like it's all bad for us, and it's all good for them. If the Lord loves you, the devil said, like he ought to, having it roles would be reversed. See what good this Christian thing's doing for you. Wise, look over there. He ain't sick. And you've been sick. Look over there. There, our young'uns are doing well. And yours have got something to matter. I mean, he'll do whatever he can to get you looking at somebody else and what they do have that you don't have, and you lose sight of the fact that you're rich if you know God, that you're wealthy if you know Jesus, that all that heaven holds belongs to you, that God's on His throne and we're His children, and He'll not shortchange a one of us. So foolish was I. I was just like them. Amen. And ignorant. What about that? He goes further with himself than what he did them. He called them foolish. He called them wicked. But he said, I was ignorant. Foolish and ignorant. And then he says, I was as a beast. I was as dumb as an ox before thee. What about that? Asaph said he'd been foolish. This word foolish is a different underlying word. I told you that other beast to be bloated up in yourself, to be overly self-confident, to live lavishly, to be openly reveling in oneself and your own accomplishments and your own abilities. This word foolish is one that we can kind of relate to a lot more. It means to be brutish as cattle, to be stupid, to be dumb as an ox. Amen. Anybody know how to relate tonight? You know what I'm preaching about? Hey, Seth, you said, you know what? I considered how I'd been acting, and that sure was stupid of me. I was acting dumb as an old ox. I mean, I was acting like I didn't have sense enough. I had to plow a field. I mean, I acted like I didn't have a bit of sense. Oh, hey, friend, Isaiah chapter 1, I said, the ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but my people doth not know, Israel doth not consider. He said, they're dumb. Asaph said, that's how I was. I was stupid for feeling this way. I was ignorant. I was uninformed. I was acting foolish. This word means that the root word has to do with the foot. My friend, isn't that interesting? Literally the foot of an animal or a hoof. And that's interesting because he said, I was as a beast before thee. In other words, friend, it insinuates that a person has not used their wit at all, but they're operating as if they have a cow's foot for a brain. Oh, have you ever acted that dumb? I mean, friend, have you been drawn aside from God and spiritual matters? You think, my friend, those wrapped up in this world's goods and in themselves have answers that you don't? My friend, that's foolish. That's stupid. It shows you're not using the intelligence that God gave to mankind when He breathed in our nostrils and made us a living soul. I tell you, you can know much more than that. You can live much higher than that. You know what the highest existence there is for a farm animal? For any animal to have all his belly wants to eat, to live comfortably, to enjoy his days until he heads to the slaughterhouse. We're not farm animals. And my friend, we're not cattle and oxen and donkeys. And my friend, we have a soul. And there are worship and like a dumb animal in this world. Amen. The intellectual elites think they're brilliant because they deny God. And the fact of the matter is that they're stupid. And the Bible is the one that told us that. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And Asaph said, you know what? I was just like him. And I know better. And I was acting foolish. And I was acting ignorant. And I sure am sorry about it. Oh my. I don't know if you've ever got to that spot. No, we're not going into that today. I don't know if you've ever got to that spot where it was. I bet you, friend, realize how foolish you'd been acting and how silly what you'd been doing was. Oh, friend, and just had to come before the Lord and say, I sure am so ashamed. Last time I prayed, I said, Lord, you ain't doing me right because I don't have this or that or can't do this or that. And I want this or that. And Lord, I'm so ashamed of that. I mean, I was foolish. Well, friend, that's where Asaph came to. He said, if I've ever got going to get up, I've got to realize where my fall was and return to God because I can't do it by myself. Oh, he was foolish. He forgot God. He was foolish. And then finally, I'm quitting with this. He got sure footing. Oh, he said, I was well nigh slipped in verse 2. But then look at verse number 24. Look at this phrase. He says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. This phrase, guide me, literally means to transport. It means to make clear the path. It means to set on the right road. He was slipping. He was falling. He was sliding in verse 2. But thank God. He said, you put me on the right road again. You set my feet on the solid rock. You established my goings, is what David said in Psalm 40. Oh, I couldn't stand. I'd fallen and couldn't get up. But the Lord raised me up and straightened out the path of my feet. Oh, I bless His name. Look at verse number 17 back in that verse. He thought he was slipping, but he said, when I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein the wicked. Surely thou, God, didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. What about that? All the others, they're the ones in trouble. I thought I was slipping and they were making progress. I thought I was falling and they were standing upright. And all the while, they're sitting in slippery places. They're on the brink of disaster. It looks good for them now, but it ain't going to get good. They have their reward. It's going to get real, real bad. But thank God, I'm not numbered among that group, he says. Oh, thus my heart was grieved in verse 21. I was preaching my race. So foolish was I and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. I'm not standing in those slippery places. I'm with thee, amen. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. You set them in a slippery place. But when I was slipping, you were holding my hand. Woo! I thought I was falling, and you were holding my hand. I thought I couldn't get up, and you were holding my hand. I thought you'd forgotten about me, and you were holding my hand. I thought that you weren't being good to me, but you were holding my hand. I don't know what holds or what tomorrow holds, but I do know who holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand. And He'll hold my hand as over death's river I go, and safe I shall be in beautiful heaven, I know. Woo! Whom have I, verse 25, in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart.
The reason I thought I was falling is because my heart and my flesh failed. I couldn't do it no more. I'd fallen and I couldn't get up. But I forgot. I'm not working in my own strength. Amen. Woo! God is my strength and my portion. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. That's destroyed all of them go whoring from thee. But it's good for me. Not just for Israel. It's good for me to draw near unto God. Woo! To put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. It pays to serve the Lord. I'm glad he had clarity of mind. He realized his error. He came to the conclusion that walking with God was not why he was slipping. It was walking away from God that caused his fall. The only way he could stand would be to trust in the Lord. And it wouldn't always be easy, but it'd always be right to live for God. It pays to serve the Lord. If you're discouraged this evening, if your heart's heavy, if you're just about gone with your feet, and this fall maybe is not one of sin, you ain't been out this week running around on your wife or husband or drinking liquor, cussing somebody. It's just down in your heart you know you're not where you need to be with God. Down in your soul you know you need to be near to God. You've been discouraged. You thought maybe even this very week, maybe I'll just stop. Maybe I'll quit. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I've just had about all I can stand. And I don't know if I can keep on going at this level and this pace. I told Brother John here a while back, I said, I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit serving God. I don't want to quit being a preacher. I don't want to quit being his man. I'm not discouraged in the way of God, but I am tired. I'm physically tired, emotionally tired, spiritually tired. Yeah. I'm half and mentally tired. Yeah. And I said, if I could put the world on pause, yeah, and life on pause, take about a dozen deep breaths, yeah, maybe get a nap and then hit the play button, yeah, I'd not miss anything, then I'd do that. Yeah. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God, yeah, when you're weak, he'll refresh you. Yeah. When you're weary, he'll strengthen you. Yeah. When you're discouraged, he'll encourage you. Yeah. I know some of you fellas hear me, yeah, in the prayer room, and you think I pray repetitively, and I do. Yeah. But every time, virtually every time I pray, yeah, by myself or with others, yeah, I pray for the services, yeah, that God would encourage the discouraged hearts. Yeah. I'm telling you, you may not know it, yeah, but our pews are full of them, friend. Yeah. They're full of them. Yeah. On that Sunday you come in, you're flying high as a kite, yeah, and you're wondering why everybody won't shout with you. Yeah. You have no idea what somebody across the pew is going through, yeah, in their lives. Yeah. But I'm telling you, God is good, yeah, to them that are of a pure heart, yeah, and that includes you and me. Yeah. You may feel like you're slipping and falling, yeah, but he'll give you a sure footing tonight if y'all call on him to help you. We haven't got an altar pew out here. We got a piano stool, though. And we got chairs to get around, and we got a pulpit. And we'll pray if you want to pray tonight. Stand to your feet if you need to do business with God. I'd beg you to come. I'd invite you to come. Find your place somewhere or another to pray and ask the Lord to encourage you and to help you sing when you're ready here. Oh, yes.